Now, let me shift from there and bring us back to the one world government alternative. You see, that is what we're facing. That is what Israel is facing, and why the nations have set themselves and the rulers are taking counsel against the Lord and against Israel. And as we speak, I have a whole raft of articles in front of me. The EU waiting until appropriate to recognize a Palestinian state. Despite fresh U.S. approach, Palestinians say no Mideast talks without a settlement freeze. Then Shimon Peres, the president of Israel, who is a radical secularist. A radical secularist. I think he kept the Sabbath one time, one day in his whole life. And he did it under duress. He said, we're running out of time for peace. What does that mean to him? It means that Israel has to submit to the two-state solution and buy into the idea that if Israel just submits to the democratic ways of the world and everything that the Gentile nations want, that then they will become one with the rest of the world and will be able to have Tikkun Olam. It'll never happen. Hamas came out just this week and said Hamas will never recognize Israel. And the reality, my friends, is the world doesn't have much love lost for Israel. They only love themselves. They only want to take advantage of Israel for their own purposes. Now, ultimately, the nations of the earth, and particularly the larger nations and movements, want to have dominion over the Temple Mount. And they want to rule and reign from Mount Zion. The Pope, the Vatican, wants to rule and reign from Mount Zion. Now, the Pope is called the Vicar of Christ. In Roman Catholic terminology, that means he stands in the place of Christ. Really. God, in Psalm chapter 2, says he will set his king upon his holy hill. His son, this day have I begotten. Is that the Pope? No. But the Pope wants to rule and reign, you see, from Mount Zion. The deal is that the nations, including the religious forces of our world, Islam, the Pope through the Vatican, and even Russia, the EU, all of them want to set themselves against Israel and form some kind of utopian government that will form the ultimate Tikkun Olam for the world. Friends, what the prophets tell us is it will bring the world's greatest destruction and will bring great judgment upon Israel as they submit to this global.
Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be your views, because it's Open Line Wednesday, and we'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. So I thought maybe I'd start out just talking a little bit about what's happening here throughout the world as far as pension funds are concerned. Those of you who've been listening for a long time will know that a few years ago, Argentina simply confiscated the pension funds, 2008, took the pension funds from the people and said, well, you know, you probably don't know how to manage your money. You're probably going to invest it in things you're going to lose money. So we're going to do it for you, and we're going to give you annuity, and we'll take your money liability, and then when you're eligible to retire, why, we'll give you a certain fixed amount of money, and you can trust us. But, of course, people in Argentina don't trust the government because time and time and again they've gone into inflationary spirals. And about 5 years ago, they defaulted on their bonds. About that time, of course, they kept telling everybody, you don't have to worry, the Argentine currency is absolutely solid. It's pegged to the American dollar. You're not going to lose your money. And they kept saying that day after day after day. And then the weekend came, and they woke up Monday morning, and they said, ha, we got you. Well, you've lost two-thirds of the value of your money. And actually, it was three-quarters, because actually now their peso was only worth about 25 cents of what it had been on Friday when they went to sleep that night. So basically, this is how the system worked. Well, Argentina had seized the pensions, but of course, governments all throughout the world have been spending more money than they have. They don't want to raise taxes. So how are you going to get money? Well, of course, they've done it in France. They've done it in Hungary. And they're doing it in Ireland. And what they're basically doing is simply taking the pension funds that the people have. They've invested them, and they simply are confiscating them and using them for current government expenses, with the idea that we'll put in more money later. But ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have any money to put in now, what makes you think you're going to have any money to put in 5 years from now or 10 years from now when these people retire? But they're even talking about that here in the United States. They've actually held hearings on actually taking over the 401ks and the IRAs here in the United States, because, of course, they want to protect the people. And after all, there are a lot of unscrupulous financial advisors out there, and wouldn't it be far better to give the money to a government that actually they have debts now probably about $100 trillion, but you can depend upon them. They'll take good care of you. Well, they're thinking of taking the pension funds from people. Now, half of the American people are not very well off. Half of the American people who are facing retirement are going to have to get half of their money from Social Security. The other half, they'll have a pension fund. But what happens if the government takes that pension fund? And then the other thing about Social Security is there is no trust fund. They've been lying all this time. Oh, there's a trust fund. There are bonds in it. But the government bonds, and the government doesn't have any money. So basically, one of the reasons we're having so much trouble right now is the government's going to have to go, is going on to the open market, borrowing $4 to $5 billion every day so that they can pay the bonds off for the Social Security and for Medicare. And so both Social Security and Medicare were Ponzi schemes. Both of them went broke. They didn't do to the congressman what they did to Bernie Madoff. They put him in prison. The congressman suddenly retired with the big fat pensions. Well, give us a call. It's open line Wednesday. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But I will tell you what, once they start taking over your pension fund, you better start looking for some other source for your retirement income, and we'll be back in a moment. Well, there's things, all sorts of things happening all over the world today, and we hope that you're out there in the listening audience. You give us a call, because, of course, this is talk radio, and if you don't have anybody to talk to, it isn't much talk radio. But basically what is really happening in Europe, of course, is that they're having very, very serious problems over there. We're told, oh, my goodness, now they came up with a trust fund for $600 or $700 or $800 billion, and that's going to take care of everything over there. Well, it's not going to take care of it. Certainly, Greece had real serious problems. Greece had borrowed excessive amounts of money. And what was the solution for having borrowed excessive amounts of money? Well, they borrowed more money just to get them through this, but they also had to cut back dramatically on all the social welfare programs they had in Greece, and the people didn't like that. And they got out, and they demonstrated, and after all, nobody wants to have to give up anything when you've been told you're entitled to it. But ladies and gentlemen, in a free society, you're not entitled to anything, and countries throughout the world have simply been borrowing money to provide welfare benefits, and we've been doing that here in the United States, and we run deficits every year, and a large part of that is to pay the welfare benefits to keep the people happy. A significant part of our population doesn't pay any taxes at all. In fact, they get back money every year from the federal government because they don't make enough. And those people, you could be sure, will always vote for the political party and for the politicians who promise to give them more. But eventually the whole system goes broke because you don't have enough money. You've got to go out and borrow money. And the more money you borrow, the more interest you have to pay. And the more interest you pay, well, the bigger your debt. And then eventually it gets to the point where all the money that's coming in is going to pay interest on your debt. And then the whole system collapses. Well, right now we've got Tony calling from Michigan. Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Hi, Stan. I called asking if you had a pastor in there.
Right.
And I spoke with your wife a length of a little of the time, and, oh, she's beautiful.
Right. She's a nice lady. She's got good taste, too.
I never saw you, but she got it. Oh, she's beautiful.
All right.
I enjoy talking to her. But what I'm calling you for, you were just saying about Bernie made up how the Congress and stuff, that, you know, he got sent to prison for taking money.
Right.
But you know what, Stan? I believe in term limits. I don't think someone should be there for 30 years, 15 years, because they think that we're working for them, they're not working for us.
Well, but basically, they gave him 150 years. Now, he's going to be an awful old man by the time he gets out of prison. But you have to understand, this is all hype. It's political theater, you know, something will come up, he'll get seriously ill, and they'll let him out of prison. Hold on. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Tony calling from Michigan. Incidentally, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and give it, it's open line Wednesday, so give us a call. But Tony was very disturbed that 30 Bernie Madoff was sent to prison, for 150 years, and she thinks that we probably should have maybe sent him to prison for maybe, how long do you think he ought to go to prison, Tony?
Well, I haven't really thought about it. I'm just saying that I'm concerned about Congress, people standing in office so long.
Well,
really.
I'm concerned about that, too. In fact, I'm concerned by the fact that we have the finest congressman money could buy. So many of them are being bribed. There is no way that you can have a corporation giving large sums of money to a congressman without them expecting to get some consideration when he is voting on various bills. I do not believe that any corporation should be able to contribute to a campaign. I don't think anybody who does not live in a congressional district should be able to finance the congressman in a congressional district. That's my thought. What are your thoughts?
What do you think about term limits?
Well, I think that's probably an excellent thing, but I think even better than term
limits.
Maybe
how many years?
I think the best thing would be to have Congress meet every other year for about 6 or 8 weeks at a time, and then they couldn't do so much damage.
Right, and they should get like 3 terms, Congress, and the Senate should get 2 terms, and that should be it.
I would not object to that at all, but I think the biggest thing is we really should give them much longer vacations.
Right. Like for retired period.
Right. Well, you know, basically, a lot of our states, you know, have stipulations that their state legislatures will meet every other year, or if they meet every year, they won't meet for longer than 6 weeks at a time. Imagine all the damage that they do when they're there.
Right.
Bills that nobody. I mean, this latest legislation. My understanding, this legislation that they're putting forward has something like 1,900 pages in it. It's got all sorts of pork in there, and that's how they're bribing the congressmen to vote for it. And that's wrong. It's immoral. In fact, the latest polls suggested that Congress's approval rate is somewhere between 12% and 13%. That's the lowest it's ever been.
I'm just disgusted with it. I just hope term limits. That's what they need. Term limits.
All right. I would not object. Go ahead.
Give a blessed evening.
Right. I wouldn't object at all.
And Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you too, Tony.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was Tony calling from Michigan, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. What do you think about term limits? What do you think about a stipulation that no piece of legislation can cover more than one subject? You can't put amendments on it? What would you think that a stipulation that no piece of legislation can be more than 10 pages long, a double-spaced? What would you think about legislation that would require Congress to spend most of its time playing baseball or simply lolling on the beach someplace or maybe going home and getting an honest job so they couldn't be creating so many problems? After all, if you read the Constitution, the powers of Congress are very limited. They're only allowed to do 18 different things. And, of course, it's because they're doing so much. And, of course, a lot of it people can say, well, isn't it nice, though, that they're providing for elderly people? But then, of course, they really don't have the money to do it. And now, of course, they're talking about, well, we'll provide money for elderly people. But, you know, if they have any other sources of income, maybe we shouldn't give them the full Social Security. Maybe we shouldn't give them any Social Security at all. Maybe we ought to just reserve it for the really poor people who have no other source of income. And now that is, of course, what the Debt Reduction Committee had actually come up with. It came up with a number of suggestions. And, of course, all of them are aimed at preserving the system. But this is what they want to do. If you have other sources of income, they certainly want to go ahead and take away your Social Security, and then they're going to have to cut back on Medicare. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we've got 70 to 75 million people retiring here and going to be retiring in the next 20 years of the baby boomers, and there's no money to provide for them. So we'll go ahead and... But anyway, if you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Now, basically, what's happening over in Europe is that all of the European countries are in real trouble. Germany, France, Austria, and I think it's Holland already have not got excessive debt. But all the other countries have excessive debt. We're to the point where their national debt is beginning to equal their gross domestic product. And at that point, it is unsustainable. The whole system begins to collapse. And that, of course, is what we're going to be seeing here in the United States. According to Richard Haass, who is the president of the Council on Foreign Relations, within 3 years, our gross domestic product will equal our national debt. And at that point, it's unsustainable. According to Mortimer Zuckerman, who is a member of the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the editor-in-chief of the U.S. News and World Report, the magazine that just stopped publishing. But basically, Mortimer Zuckerman says it's going to happen next year. And, of course, it's all how you juggle the figures. You know, figures don't lie, but liars can figure. And, of course, Mr. Haass uses totally faulty figures. He uses the figures taking out the Social Security and Medicare trust fund, but unfortunately, there's no money in those trust funds. They should be included. They have to be funded. And we've either got to fund them by borrowing money or we put them in with that and acknowledge that we basically have this a very, very real problem, and that by next year our debt load will be unsustainable. But this thing happens in the states. Our states have debts that are unsustainable. Our counties have debts that are unsustainable. Our cities, our libraries, they all on borrowed money. And this is how the system works. The bankers, of course, make money readily available, and they get everybody over head over heels in debt. And that's what they've done to our populace, but that's also what they've done to government. That's what they've done to many of the corporations that are not part of the Brotherhood of Darkness. They're corporations headed by people who, of course, want to, you know, make money, produce products. But, of course, once they get them head over heels in debt, then they contract the money supply. They just stop loaning. And when that happens, why, of course, the company is desperate. They have to have money to be able to function. And, of course, they can't borrow money anyplace. The banks make sure they can't borrow money. And then, of course, the bank goes down. And who do you think ends up getting all the assets? Why, the banksters, of course. And that's how the system is played out. Well, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 in the Central Coast of California. And we've got Ezra on the line from Northern Idaho. Hi, Ezra.
Hi, sir. Thanks for having me on the call.
Now, are you listening on shortwave, internet, or by radio?
By radio.
Okay, very good. What part of Idaho are you in? Beg pardon?
97.3 up here.
Okay, fine. You're probably listening to the station then out of Spokane. But go ahead. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I have a question and a comment. In H.G. Wells' Outline of History, you notice these waves happen, and there's almost a Machiavellian game that people play between governments where they're just trying to one up each other like they did during the monarchies of Louis XIV through the XVI, you know, where you had the grand monarchies.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, the bottom fell out. And here's what happened. And this is what I would not like to see in the United States, but it looks like it might be inevitable, is that then you have this plutocracy. Plutocracy, where the wealthy determine the path of the rest of us. That only lasts so long. It's like a steam, you know, a pressure cooker, and then the populace finally has had enough, and you end up with the things like Rome corroding from the inside, you know, the empires corroding from the inside that led to World War One and all that other stuff. The dust settles, and we're back to mayhem until somebody decides that morality and discipline are the rule of the day, and they tend to rise until the whole process starts over again. You know, and I hate to see myself in the generation that's going to do that, but prophecy's prophecy, and it looks like that may be inevitable. You know, and
all right, fine. You are taking the accepted historical view of what happened at the time of the French Revolution in 1789 and then the subsequent revolutions that swept Europe. But, of course, you probably were a victim of a traditional education, as I was. And what people do not understand is that there were secret societies at that time that were instrumental in bringing about the French Revolution, which was a watershed event and was followed by a series of revolutions both in France and Italy and Germany, and then it culminated in the Russian Revolution in 1917 and the Cuban Revolution in 1959. And if you'd like to verify what I'm saying, that the secret societies were behind all of this, there's a wonderful book written not by a right-wing extremist but by the Librarian of Congress, James H. Billington, who is, because the book's very hard to get, it's called Fire in the Minds of Men, you can get it from us, and he talks about the secret societies. Now, certainly this is also covered in a book written by Nesta Webster called The French Revolution. But you can't understand that. You know, people, they write all these books. H.G. Wells was part and parcel of these secret societies, or he was always on the fringe of them, so he was never going to tell you the real truth. But society is directed by secret societies, you know, cult societies working behind the scenes, and they are here today, and they are the ones who are manipulating us into this cataclysmic event. They're the ones, if you've read my latest newsletters, last two newsletters, I go into the occult background of the people who created World War One. There was no reason for that war. Rational men would have stopped that war. But of course, there were secret societies there that wanted that war because out of the mayhem, they wanted to fulfill the age-old plan to bring about a world government. And that was the League of Nations. And of course, when the League of Nations failed, then they had to create another war. And what people don't understand is that it was American corporations that built up Adolf Hitler. That's covered in this great new book we're carrying, America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus, who actually had the opportunity of going through the National Archives and finding about the American corporations that created Adolf Hitler. But we'll be back in just a moment. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
Okay,
hang on there, Ezra.
Can I make my comment? Okay, well, thanks.
Go ahead, Ezra.
Oh, the comment was going to be is there's an interesting parallel here between Germany and the United States presently. When Germany was dragged in...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
That you allow comments from listeners.
We do that every Wednesday, and we always look forward to it, and lots of times we learn from our listeners, but go right ahead.
Well, you were asking about term limits, and I don't think term limits would make any difference as long as lobbyists have access with their money to the congressmen. These congressmen are hired by the taxpayers. Aren't they paid fairly well?
Yes, they are.
Don't they have enough benefits and retirement perks and all that to get by pretty well?
Well, but you have to understand how this works, John. First of all, the lobbyists don't necessarily give them money. What they do is they go ahead and they finance their reelection. They give them money for their reelection campaigns. At least they're not supposed to give them any money. They may very well. I think there have been a few people like Randy Cunningham who got caught with his hand in the till taking bribes and special favors. But the significant thing is that, well, for instance, Tom Foley. Tom Foley was the Speaker of the House, and he was allowed to invest in IPOs. Those are independent private offerings, there are certainly stock offerings, and this is when the stock first goes on the market. But he gets to buy it before the public does, and as soon as it goes on the market, it goes up. So he made $100,000 investing in IPOs. Hillary Clinton, when her husband was the governor of Arkansas, invested in commodities. And, of course, she played the commodities against one of the largest supporters of Bill Clinton, and she made $100,000 in the commodity market. Nobody makes $100,000 in the commodity market unless the rig is fixed, and it was fixed. Isn't it interesting that she's never done it again? And in fact, isn't it even more interesting that when she ran for the presidency, nobody ever talked about how she played the commodity market against Tyson, who was one of the largest funders of Bill Clinton. But the biggest thing that they do is when you leave Congress, whether it be Bob Dole or the fellow who is Democrat leader of the Senate, basically then they become lobbyists, and they're paid, you know, $1 million a year as lobbyists to go back and lobby the people that they've been working with. So basically, so many of them are on the take, and I share your concern about it.
Well, I believe the lobbyists should not be allowed in the building, because if they're serving all these special interests, they're sure not looking after the United States of America or the people in it.
I think you're absolutely right, John, but the biggest thing is, if we were adhering to the Constitution and there were only 18 things that the Congress could do, and those are laid out in Section 8 of Article 1 of the Constitution, has to do with coining and minting money and maintaining a military and certainly setting weights and measures. If Congress were adhering to the Tenth Amendment, where all powers not specifically given to Congress by the Constitution are to be limited to the states and to the people, they wouldn't be able to do anything. They wouldn't be able to give special favors to special groups because they would have no authority in those areas. That's where we really need to go. But I agree with you. The lobbyists shouldn't be there, but the key to it all is a return to our Constitution and the limitations placed upon the Congress by the Constitution. It was really Thomas Jefferson who said, speak to me not of confidence in men, but bind them down for mischief with the chains of the Constitution. And because he was really echoing those views of John Locke, who said that government governs best, it governs the least. What we need to do is limit the power of government so that these people won't benefit. There'd be no reason for the lobbyists to give money to the congressmen unless they were going to get something in return, would there be?
No, but the special interests are being served and the country is not. Thank you for listening to my comment.
You're absolutely right, and I agree with everything you're saying, and I would have no objection to laws that would ban the lobbyists from Washington, D.C. I think it's corrupt. But, of course, with the present corrupt Congress, they're not going to pass laws to limit their ability to get funds for the reelection or to get those plus jobs when they retire. Do you know that, Sidney, when the people live government, like Alan Greenspan, when Alan Greenspan left office, why, he got $8 million for a book. I mean, the Pope, with 1.25 billion followers, only got $8 million for his book, and Alan Greenspan got $8 million for his book, Hillary Clinton got $8 million for her book, Bill Clinton got $10 million, he even got more than the Pope did. And you know that is not simply because they're going to make a lot of money on the books, it's payment for services rendered. That's how the system works. And I'm ashamed that it does. Anything else?
No, thank you very much.
God bless you. And our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We'll get to Dave in just a moment here. But give us a call if you have a question or comment right here at Radio Liberty. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Love to hear from you. This is Dr. Stan, and we've got Dave calling from Little Falls, New York. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan.
Good to have you with us.
Oh, I enjoy your program. I listen every time I can, Dr. Stan. I have first a comment, and actually I guess it's one big comment cut into two. Firstly, all the listeners out there, especially if you're in your car or however you tuned in tonight, Dr. Stan has been awesome. He's been a big help to me, and I just want to thank you. You're a witness to what I searched for years as I struggled in an inner knowing there was something wrong with our system, something wrong with the structure, even in the church, but definitely in our political system. And I want to thank you for being a witness and a light and a great piece of information for us to help us to understand, because I was always so frustrated, Dr. Stan, and I know the listeners out there are searching, too.
I know I know just how you feel, because I was searching for the truth for so many years myself, but I feel it's a privilege that I have. I really don't believe I deserve any credit for it. I believe God's put me here for a purpose, and I don't know why, but he's kept me going. A lot of my friends have died under mysterious circumstances, but we just keep plugging along, and it's wonderful to have a voice at a time like this, but I appreciate your kind words.
Yes, Dr. Stan, if I could add one more thing. What interests me a lot is, and you talk about it a lot in your program, is I've always believed, even when I became a Christian, I was born again when I was 18, I always believed that America was the Babylon. And like with all your guests, especially Bob and others, explained the money and how it's so messed up. I don't understand why the church doesn't understand that. We got that giant statue out there, and it has all those horns on it, that Statue of Liberty. I mean, it couldn't be more clearer that we're saying, you know, as a society, we are this Babylon. We're trying to destroy this system of money and impoverish people so we can usher in this, like you call it, the brotherhood of darkness to fight God, like Psalm 2 says, mm-hmm. that God warned us that these evil people would try to rage against him in the last days. And I'm frustrated with our church, Dr. Stan. Why don't we understand? Why can't we get it that, you know, our system is so corrupt and we seem to be so messed up by it, Dr. Stan? I struggle with that.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back on the air in just a moment here, and I'd like to address your question because I think it's a very, very valid one, and I think that we have to ask why the church isn't speaking out. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have David is calling from Little Falls, New York. Incidentally, we do have one line open at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But Dave is calling and seeing why isn't the church being effective. And I will tell you why. I believe that they infiltrated our seminaries many years ago. And my good friend Colonel Ron Ray, who was actually Assistant Secretary of Defense during the Reagan administration and certainly fought in Vietnam as a lieutenant. He retired as a Marine Corps colonel. But he was on a presidential commission in the 1990s looking into the idea of bringing women into the military and bringing open homosexuals into the military. And one of the people who testified before the presidential commission was David Horowitz. And David Horowitz was a red diaper baby, was raised in a communist home, promoted the communist philosophy for many years, became a conservative, but he testified and was talking about the communist infiltration of our country. And after David had stepped down, I guess it was a break, Colonel Ray went over and asked David Horowitz, you know, what about the church? You didn't mention the church. Did the communists try to infiltrate the church? And he said, David smiled and said, that was the easiest thing. We infiltrated them 50 years ago. So what they did is they very subtly changed the message of Christianity. And they still talk about Jesus Christ and his resurrection. But ministers are not supposed to be involved in political affairs. They're not supposed to address the issues of our time. All they're supposed to do is simply bring people to church and try to save souls or make them feel good about themselves. But they've lost the vision of the fact that the church should be leading and telling people what to do. People, the media is controlled, and you're not going to get the truth out of the media, except maybe alternative radio. And so, but you could get it from your minister if he would tell you the truth. But in some instances, they know. And some instances, they are afraid to speak out. But in most instances, they don't know. And some of them have more fear of government than they do of God, because, of course, if you speak out, they can go after your 501c3. They don't have to be a 501c3. But I agree with you. I blame much of the problem on the church, and it's not that the ministers aren't good people, and most of them love God, although some of them are simply there to disrupt things, like Ted Haggard, who, he was the head of the National Association of Evangelical Christians, 30 million members, and he was writing letters to Congress and doing everything to undermine Christianity. And, of course, he was there because there were other people within the hierarchy of that organization that put him there. So we got real problems. They got rid of him. The next guy came came in and said we got to support global warming and give the government more control. But that, I believe, is the reason why we're in the trouble. They've infiltrated the Christian church.
Yes, Dr. Stan, again, you said it great. I couldn't have done any better. I enjoy your show. And listeners, please believe what this man has to say. I've searched it. I'm only 46, Dr. Stan. You got a lot of years on me, but I'll tell you, you're a blessing. And I just thank God that, you know, there are lights out there. There are, like the Bible says, the righteous will shine like stars. And you're going to shine one day, Dr. Stan, forever. And I hope to meet you one day in heaven. If I don't meet you on the earth, then I'll thank you when I see you.
Well, I look forward to meeting you in heaven. The other thing is, when I'm not here, you're going to know what this is all about. And one way or another, you'll have the opportunity to get the information out. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. So there'll be a lot of people like you who will be there to replace me and to duplicate this message 1,000 times over. Have a wonderful Christmas, Dave.
All right, Dr. Stan. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Now. Okay, let's go to Ed calling from New York State. And our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. How are we doing, Ed? How are you listening to us?
Great. How are you doing? I'm listening to you through WJIV.
Okay, very good. And, good station.
Yep, it sure is. I love their programming. And Dr. Issa, I called and talked with him last night, too. But I was quite intrigued with your most recent conversation about the 501c3. And it's so amazing that so many ministers around, no matter what the denomination there is, they're running scared. They got to be sure that they appease the gods and the government with that one.
And I think that's it's very, very, very tragic. The other thing is, of course, the Masons have infiltrated the Christian churches, and if you speak out against the Masons, they'll come after you. They'll get you. And so, I mean, ministers are in a difficult position, but I do think that they should have more fear of God than they do of government, and I think they have an obligation to speak out.
We are supposed to be God-fearing, aren't we?
Right. Okay, anything else?
Yeah, absolutely. The Republic Magazine, I see you were advertising for them. That's a very good organization. I've advertised with them. And I don't know if a lot of listeners are aware or not, but they do have recorded webinars on there. I actually did one for them on off-grid energy systems. But it's simply republicmagazine.com/webinar, and there's, I think, probably about maybe 100 of them on there now on all kinds of topics.
Right. They do a good job, and I certainly support them, what they're doing. Are you selling these off-grid energy systems?
I do.
All right, fine. Well, give me a call sometime. Maybe we could chat. I'd be interested in what you do have to offer. Thanks very much.
Okay.
God bless, let's go to Carlos calling from Carson, California. And I know Carlos. How are you doing?
Hey, great, Dr. Stan. Great. We're doing good here, and I see you're doing quite well yourself.
Well, we are just plugging along, and the God keeps us going. If we end up the year in the black, why, we're happy. That's all we can we can continue doing this next year.
Well, you certainly have a lot of energy, certainly have a lot of energy.
Well, I got a lot of help, too. I got a son and a wife who helped me, and I've got a couple of people who work for us that are totally dedicated to what we're doing, and then we got a lot of loyal listeners out there that are helping. So, anyway, what would you like to talk about?
A couple of different issues here. One, your current topic that you guys were discussing about the Christian church, the Catholic Church being infiltrated. I read accounts whereby even Pope John the 23rd, and some of the popes were engaged in conducting satanic rituals at the Vatican. Whether that's true or not, but those are versions that I have read.
Well, I've read that, but I would suggest people get certainly the book, The Windswept House by Malachi Martin, or my four tapes, interviews with Malachi Martin, where he describes this satanic ceremony held in the basement of the Vatican. Didn't say the Pope was involved, but there are people there. There are a number. There are probably over 100 people there in the Vatican who are Masons, and of course, the Masons, God is Lucifer. And they should be all excommunicated, but unfortunately they have friends in very high places. It's tragic, but of course if you wanted to destroy the Catholic Church, you wouldn't attack it from without. You'd infiltrate it and destroy it from within like termites do, and they're there, I'm afraid.
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, I attend Mass every Sunday, because I was born a Catholic, I used to be Cardinal McIntyre's altar boy as a young kid.
Well, I will not hold that against you. He is not one of my favorite cardinals, I'll tell you. I mean, they're very holy men, many cardinals, I'm sure, are really totally dedicated to God, but I have my own opinions of Cardinal McIntyre, but go ahead.
Yeah, so do I, but anyways, you know, I have witnessed since the liberalization of the church through the Second Ecumenical Council, I believe, back in the 70s, where there's been some very, very subtle changes that took place in the liturgy of the Mass, whereby it used to be said in Latin, and now it's said in the vernacular. But not only that, there used to be a clear demarcation between, during the Mass, what was God's kingdom and the laity. There used to be a realm where people could not go past that realm, and they had to kneel there to receive communion, and the laity could never enter into the other side of the rail, which is where the Mass was being conducted, which was supposed to be God's domain. But see, those rails have been taken down, and now the community even takes up giving the host. They give the wine. The community participate, and all under the guise that is greater community involvement and greater, and it upholds the Christian, greater upholding of the Christian faith.
Well,
in reality, I believe, Dr. Stan, that it's integrating humanity with God, paving the way for humanism, and it's actually giving a subtle message that humans are now equal to God.
Well, I think, Carl,
which is the message of humanism.
Well, I agree with you, but I think that basically the important thing is not whether you go to church, whether you go to Mass, whether you go to confession. It is your relationship with, personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, and you can have a personal relationship with Him. And one of the good things, and the only good thing that came out of the Second Vatican Council under Pope John Paul XXIII, was he allowed the Catholics to start reading the Bible. And I would hope that you would be doing that. That is what this is about. It's not going through the form of the church or whether you go every day, every week to Mass or go to Mass every day. It's your relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. Okay?
I think you're right.
God bless
you. Let me get to my second point real quick.
Okay, because we got a full board, so go ahead.
Okay, real quick. You know, Assange, I believe, is an agent provocateur, probably state-directed by somebody. He works for some kind of a state. Or he may even have intelligence connections. He's using his Wikipedia, whatever they call it.
WikiLeaks.
And WikiLeaks, and he's provoking actions that will justify government intervention and shutdown of certain websites, probably the Internet, and imposing limitations on our freedom of speech. I don't think the guy's a lily quiet, as people think. I think he's intelligence-connected. He's a major provocateur.
Well, you may very well be right. There's a lot of good things in the WikiLeaks, but there has to be some good things for us to believe the charade. I will tell you one thing about the WikiLeaks, and that is, if they didn't want you to know what was in them, it would not be getting the play that they are. Basically, on the 3rd or 4th of November of this year, he was a lord, a British peer, member of the House of Lords, got up in the House of Lords and said, I've been sending billions of pounds on a regular basis to terrorist organizations throughout the world, to Ireland, terrorist organizations in Ireland, terrorist organizations in North Africa. Not one word of that got out in the media. You can check it out on the Internet, fortunately, simply by putting in Belfast Telegraph, Lord James, Finance Terrorism. You can pick it up. You can even hear them there, you know, they actually have a motion pictures or videos of that. But that was totally blacked out by the media. And the question I have is, if the WikiLeaks is so important, why are we hearing about it? They can black out anything they want to. I mean, what could be more important than the realization that the Bank of London is financing terrorist organizations throughout the world? Not a word. Thanks very much, Carlos. Good point.
Okay,
God bless.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stan.
Okay, and Merry Christmas to you as well. Bye-bye. And let's go to Joe, who's calling from Carmel. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. How are we doing, Joe?
Fine. I've got another example of a media blackout that's much closer to home. Have you heard about Compton, California, the parental trigger law being tested for the first time?
No, I haven't. Tell us about it.
Okay. This is a new law that allows parents in a failing school district to kick out the management of the school. And there's been some TV coverage, evidently, of it in the last week. But I saw a little story from the L.A. Weekly that was sent out on Friday that was a very sketchily written story. But I'm not aware that the L.A. Times has had any coverage of it whatsoever.
I really couldn't comment, but tell us what this is all about. Basically, it's about the fact that the parents can throw out or fire the school board? How does that work?
Right. There's a new law. It's called the Parent Trigger Law. You can search Parent Trigger on keywords on the Internet. This is the first time in Compton that it's been tried. Compton is just south of Los Angeles. Mayor Villagrosa of Los Angeles has jumped into the act, showing that, he's a puppet of the teachers' union bosses. So it shows that the teachers' union bosses are really concerned about this. They're threatening the parents who have signed this petition. Evidently, 61% of the parents in this school district have signed a petition to kick out the current school management. They only need 51%. So the teachers' union is going around threatening the illegal immigrants with deportation if they sign this petition. They're saying that they're lying about that it's going to cause tuition to be charged at the school, and they're telling all kinds of other lies. It's total totalitarian terrorism tactics to stop this from happening.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I hope you'll keep us in touch and let us know. But, sir, we're not hearing about that here. I think it sounds fascinating. God bless you. Thanks very much for calling.
Sure, thank you.
Okay, let's go to Ron, who's calling us from Michigan. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And how are you doing, Ron?
Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm from Eastern Washington, not from Michigan.
Well, I'm sorry, but this is, is this Ron?
Yeah, this is he.
Okay, Ron from, go ahead.
But I remember listening to Dan Smoot. You remember Dan Smoot? When I was a kid in high school, and I didn't really understand politics too much, but I used to watch him on the Sunday afternoon, and remember one of his programs, he was castigating the preachers. He was telling the preachers to get out of politics and get back in the pulpit.
Well, because Dan Smoot was a courageous guy. We all really learned from him. Certainly this was in the early 1960s, and from about 1960 to about 1964, 1965, when they used the so-called fairness doctrine to get rid of him.
Yeah, well, anyway, the thing that bothered me about that, the problem was not that the clergy was speaking out on current issues, but the clergy had lost their biblical moorings. And that's one of the problems that I see with some of these, quote, conservative, unquote, organizations. You've got to go back to biblical principles. That's the principles upon which our society has been founded. The church should be holding us to that and defending those principles, and they're not. One of the things that really upset me in my hometown when I saw the Sodomite organization maneuvering itself into the schools, and I mentioned this at the school board meeting. I said, "Where are the preachers?" I said, "There's none of them here." And there was a lot of kids there. And I said, "You guys are the sheep. The preachers are the shepherds, and the shepherds obviously don't care about the sheep because they're not here." The kids were pretty much astounded that I would say something like that. In fact, I ended up getting interviewed by the school newspaper. But the preachers are not there. The preachers don't speak out. The only ones who do are either the wolves in sheep's clothing or, in some cases, the wolves in wolf's clothing. The rest of them are silent.
You're absolutely right, and basically what we need to do is encourage the ministers, try to get them educated, and tell them that we believe they have an obligation. This is a wonderful country, and we're losing it. The only reason is because the ministers are not being the shepherds that they should be.
You know, we should be speaking out. We have the First Amendment right.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Go right ahead, Ron. I certainly agree. I share your concern.
Yes, that was one of the problems that I see. But the Christians should speak out, and they should stand on biblical principles.
You're absolutely right.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
DVD on weather modification. We've got a four-tape set on weather modification. We've got a book going into the background of HARP and how this can be used for weather modification. We don't know what they're doing because, of course, they're going to have a transparent society. Everybody's supposed to know what the government is doing. But, of course, everything is top secret in the name of, well, we can't let Osama bin Laden know what we're doing as far as weather modification is concerned. Well, I don't believe that at all. Is this a product of God or is this a product of the government? We don't know, but we can be awfully certain. The one thing is that Al Gore was lying to us. There is no global warming. In fact, there hasn't been any warming effectively for the last 10 years. But and there are over 32,000 scientists who've signed Dr. Art Robinson's petition. You can look it up on the Internet, saying there's no evidence that man's activity has led to global warming. But that doesn't matter. If you say something often enough and you control the media, and ladies and gentlemen, the media is controlled. Why do you convince people of almost anything? Watch the History Channel. They'll have wonderful programs. Watch the Discovery Channel. They'll have wonderful programs. And then they'll always bring them in about global warming and how global warming is changing the planet. And, oh, we've got to do something about global warming. Remember, they have to tell you a lot of truth before they get you to believe a lie. And there is no man calls global warming. And the only global warming we've had is because we're in a warming cycle, and we have been until recently. Many people are worried we're turning into a cooling cycle. We've got two great DVDs by our good friend Dr. Michael Kaufman on global warming. We have a four-tape set on global warming. We have Brian Sussman's excellent book, Climate Gate. You need to get it. Brian's done a wonderful job on that. He has his own radio program on KSCO and is an evangelical Christian. But he has an opportunity to reach people that I would never be able to reach. So Brian Sussman's book, Climate Gate, we recommend this to you. And our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Now, certainly if you did not get a chance to attend our October conference, or if you did, I have to tell you the CDs are available now. There are five of them. You can get them separately, or you can get them all together. That's certainly Paul Williams on the Islamic terrorist training camps in the United States, operating with the full knowledge of the FBI, and this is probably financed by the CIA. Sheriff Mack spoke. Certainly, we had Dr. Ayoub, excellent talk on aluminum in vaccines and really frightening information. And I will have to admit, I just watched the DVD last night. I've heard him speak before, but I learn something every time he talks. But you can hear the CD, and we'll have the DVD available very soon. Michael Shaw on ICLEI and my talk on the dark secret. The five CDs are ready and available, and the DVDs will be available before long. And then, of course, we want to mention we have that wonderful DVD on the Watchers going into the UFOs and the alien implants and cattle mutilations. We have certainly William Still's excellent DVD, The Secret of Oz. That's The Wizard of Oz, The Secret of Oz. We've got my talk on planned population control, on the planned police state. And then, of course, we've got my talk on the hidden agenda. If you want to get something good on water fluoridation, other people have actually taken my DVD and put it up on their websites. The greatest form of flattery. I was pleased to see people are doing that, but you need to get the syllabus along with the talk. That's the hidden agenda. They're poisoning our people. They know exactly what they're doing, and it's not just in water. Actually, they're fumigating the wheat now with toxic doses of fluoride. Why would they do that? Why? Because there are people who hate America. They hate everything about this country, and they know exactly what they're doing. That's the hidden agenda. And then, of course, we have Newell Oler's music for a wonderful Christmas gift. And then, of course, our number 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Ken Bowers. Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I hear you just fine here.
All right, very good. And, Chris, well, we haven't actually met, so why don't you just tell our listeners just a little about you and about the work you've done, the book you've written.
Okay. I got bit by this conspiracy bug many, many years ago.
That's an awfully contagious bug. That's a dangerous thing because you could get bit by that bug. It can change your life.
That's what it did. When I was 14, I was raised in Mesa, Arizona, and when I was 14, my parents joined the John Birch Society, and they held cottage meetings in our home, and they started talking about crazy things that I'd never heard before, things like there were a group of people, very rich, very powerful, that controlled our government from behind the scenes. And they started saying crazy things like they also controlled the news media, and they controlled the education establishment and stuff like that. And at first it was hard for me to swallow. And so I started looking into it with the idea to disprove it. And after investigating it for over 40 years, I found out they were right.
Well, sometimes you find out your folks are a lot smarter than you thought they were. And because basically, when you start out looking into this, it doesn't seem like it could be true. You want to pinch yourself. Could this really be going on? Could I know about it? Nobody else knows about it? And why would these wealthy people want to undermine and destroy our country? Why would they be pushing all these things, destroying the moral fabric of our society, and suddenly taking us into war after war and building up countries throughout the world and lowering the living standards here? It doesn't make any sense. So you go ahead.
Yeah, that's normal thinking, isn't it? Would you want to do that? I wouldn't want to do that. I don't want to control other people. But there are people who live who actually like the idea of control. And the idea of power entices them. And some people like the idea of power, but they're willing to work within the system. But there are a few who like the idea of power, and they will stop at nothing to get it. And that is the kind of people that we have, that are controlling the world from behind the scenes. And it's many people still deny that and don't believe it, but the evidence is there. The evidence is definitely.
All right, fine. Well, I want you to convince me. I'm a skeptic. I don't believe in this sort of thing. How can you say that there are these wealthy people out there? Now, remember, I agree with basically your thesis, but I'm going to be your protagonist. I'm going to force you to come up with a position. Now, the title of your book is In Plain Sight?
Beneath the Tide.
Beneath the Tide. Okay, go right ahead. Of course, they've actually they've hidden this thing in plain sight. It's out there. Anybody can see it. But people have to understand that what Ken is saying is absolutely true. There really are small groups of very wealthy people who not only control America, they control most of the world. Not all of the world. That's why we're fighting over there in Afghanistan and Iraq. And because we're trying to bring the Muslim world under control. And these leaders of these countries, the people there, don't want to subjugate their freedom. But, of course, there are people who want them to. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Well, Ken, you go right ahead. How can you convince a skeptic that this is really true? I mean, this sounds like you think there's a conspiracy out there.
Yeah, it would. It kind of sounds like it. And the reason it sounds like it is because there is. What you do is you go in and look at the evidence, and it keeps pointing right back in that direction, especially when you start reading their own words. For instance, here's a there's a book, David Rockefeller, he's one of them. David Rockefeller wrote his autobiography in 2002. called Memoirs. Mm-hmm. And you can go out and buy that in any Barnes & Noble bookstore.
Oh, you can buy that from my ministry, Radio Liberty. We sell the book. We think it's a very important book. But go ahead.
Yeah, right. And piece 405 here, he wrote a chapter called The Proud Internationalist. And in page 405 of that chapter, he says this: for more than a century, ideological extremists at either end of the political spectrum have seized upon well-publicized incidents to attack the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence they claim we wield over American political and economic institutions. Some even believe that we are part of a secret cabal, working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as, quote, internationalists, and of conspiring with others around the world. Conspiring. Ooh, boy. These are his own words. To build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I am proud of it. So he's proud of being, trying to build a more integrated global political and economic structure, one world government, and of conspiring with others around the world to do it, and working against the best interests of the United States in this secret cabal. He admits it. These are his words.
Now, you think of it, basically, as you go down that page, in the next paragraph after that, he is talking, he's saying, you know, of course, these people, these populists, they're so critical of us, but certainly, because of what we've done, why we've raised the living standards in other countries, and besides that, we've kept good living standards here in the United States, and basically, these people who criticize us, what would they have suggested? I mean, and so he's taking credit for raising the living standards in other nations, and of course maintaining the good living standards in America. And you know, Ken, he's absolutely right. They have raised the living standards in China.
No.
And they have raised the living standards, certainly, in India and in China, and they've raised living standards throughout the world. And, of course, he wrote that book, Memoirs, back in 2002. But if he wants to take credit for raising the living standards throughout the world, then he's got to take responsibility for what's going on today, as they're gradually lowering the standard of living here in the United States. So you can't have it just one way. You've got to accept full responsibility. It was their involvement that did create this situation with no tariffs, free trade, CAFTA, WTO, NAFTA, all of this whole idea of shifting America's industries to other countries. But as we've set our textile industry and our steel industry and our electronic industry and our automotive industry and our aluminum industry and our light bulb industry and much of our agricultural industry and many other industries, our smokestack industries, to other countries, why we've lost about 8 million jobs here in the United States. They're not coming back. And really, of course, people have to realize that this is all planned, and with that will come the lowering of our standard of living. And yet I don't think the average individual understands this is all planned. Do you?
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely planned that way. It has. As a matter of fact, this plan is more than 100 years old. It's more than 150 years old. They've had this idea for many, many generations. And the idea is to bring the living standard of America down, raise it in other parts of the world. Another part of the plan is to make America more socialistic and bring Russia around to make them more democratic. That's found in the book New Lies for Old by Anatoly Golitsyn, who wrote about the lies of perestroika and glasnost. And all this was planned so that we could merge America and Russia in a one-world government in which America is kind of socialistic and Russia is kind of democratic, and they bring us together in a one-world system. There's so much more to it than that. It's simplistic, but it's true. Everything about that is true. And if one will take the time to go out and look at and look into it. They'll find that this is all true. This stuff is well known, but it is not advertised on the CBS Evening News, so you have to dig for it. But if you dig, there it is.
Well, I think the most interesting thing about David Rockefeller's memoirs, in addition to that quotation you have from page 405, is the fact that his daughters go down to visit Fidel Castro. In fact, one daughter is very close to Fidel. She goes down on a regular basis to visit Fidel Castro. Now, why would the daughter of the leader of the capitalist movement here in the United States, why would David Rockefeller's daughter go down to visit Fidel Castro, who is a ruthless murderer? He killed a number of people in cold blood when he came to power. Why would she go down to visit him? And then, of course, why would Fidel Castro come up to the United States to visit with Nelson, with David Rockefeller? He visited him a couple of times. One time after UN meeting at the United Nations. Why would David Rockefeller meet with this communist leader, this mass murderer? I mean, it doesn't make sense unless maybe nothing that we believe is really true.
Yeah, all of this is true. They conspire with these leaders like Castro and Khrushchev and Mao Zedong, all these historical leaders of the 20th century, communist, socialist, people from Europe, they conspire together behind the scenes to bring us all together into a one world government. And it sounds crazy, but you have to be able to look at the evidence before you really pronounce a verdict on it. And what I have found as I talk with people, and I give many lectures all over the place about this, those who object to that idea, I just ask them a simple question. Have you studied it? Have you looked at it? I don't have to. You know, this is just crazy idea. It's fringe element thinking, right-wing nuts, kooks, you know, you've heard those appellations. Anyway, those ideas are there. They're based on solid evidence, and people just blow it away. That's because that the news media has been taken over by these gentlemen. For instance, David Rockefeller, they have bought out CBS, NBC, ABC. They control all of the news media. That is, the major news media. They control all of the major news media. Yours is probably the exception.
We are not the major news media. We are simply the alternative news media.
Yes, uh-huh. But you and Alex Jones and others are telling the truth. And those who dismiss us, they dismiss us without even looking at the evidence. That's not very smart. That lacks integrity, intellectual integrity. If you had intellectual integrity, you at least look at the evidence, but they don't.
I certainly agree with you. And basically, of course, there's so much evidence out there. Do you have some other examples of how they've done this? And then basically, what is the basic reason for your book? What will people learn by reading your book?
That this small cabal or a group of people control all of the major institutions of power in the United States and the world. The operative word there is major. They don't control everything. But they control all of the major institutions of power, and those institutions are the ones that mold the opinions and take the world in a certain direction. And that direction is in the direction of a one-world government, which they call the New World Order. The evidence is there. Let's see. Here's another one. Are you familiar with W. Cleon Skousen?
Yes, I had an opportunity to attend one of his courses and talk to him shortly before he passed away.
Oh, really? Oh, good. I'm glad.
In fact, we interviewed his nephew every Thursday and every Friday, so that's Joel Skousen, right?
Joel Skousen, yeah. Okay. I studied with him for 4.5 years just before he died.
Well, then it was a great privilege to have known him. I think he was a great patriot.
Oh, no kidding. It really was. He wrote a book called The Naked Capitalist. And in the last page of The Naked Capitalist, he talks about a man by the name of Norman Thomas. Norman Thomas was a socialist, ardent socialist, dyed in the wool, and he ran for the presidency on the Socialist Party ticket 5 times. And in the last page of The Naked Capitalist, W. Cleon Skousen talks about how Norman, he ran for the first time, I think it was 1932, and he got like 190,000 votes. That's not a lot, because the American people just will not accept socialism under that name. Then he ran again in 1936, and he got about half as many votes. And he found out from his friends and from other people that they voted for FDR because in FDR's first term, it's from 1933 on, he started implementing socialist measures. He started implementing measures that Norman Thomas promised that he would implement if he were elected president. And so his friends said, well, why should we vote for you when you're going to lose? We'll vote for FDR. When he's doing the same things that you're going to do, that you were going to do if you were elected. So Norman Thomas, a socialist, knows what socialism is. And he promised when he was running for the presidency that he would implement a retirement program, a government-run retirement program for senior citizens. And my goodness, what did we get with the Townsend Act? Social Security. That was done by FDR. So they started voting, all the socialists started voting for FDR.
Well, I think it's important to realize, of course, that Norman Thomas eventually stopped running for the presidency because he said, you know, basically, we have more socialism in the United States than they have in Russia. And that's really true. We have more socialism in Russia than in the United States than they have. Certainly we have an element of capitalism, as far as the corporate socialists are concerned, but basically what we have is the corporations working hand in glove with government, and then we have them providing all these wonderful programs for the people, Social Security and Medicare and food stamps and unemployment insurance and a myriad of social programs mediated by the federal government. The only trouble is it doesn't work. I mean, it's worked very well for a time, but of course they were all Ponzi schemes, all good Ponzi schemes, come to an end, and this one's come to an end. We're putting out more money from Social Security than we're taking in. We're putting out more money in Medicare than we're taking in. There is no trust fund. They will tell you, well, the trust fund, you know, will last until 2039.
Yeah,
basically,
right.
There's no money in the trust fund because it's all been spent. What you have there are United States Treasury bonds, and of course they were redeemed by the Treasury, which doesn't have any money. So they're having to go out right now and borrow the money to pay back on the bonds because the money's all spent. And you eventually get to a point where certainly you've got so much money borrowed that all you have to pay interest on all that money. And then eventually you put as much money out in interest as the government's taken in. At that point, the government ceases to function. And ladies and gentlemen, that time is not very far away. David Walker, you need to get his material. He's certainly was in charge of the office of Sydney, where they audited these things, is the GAO of the United States. Get David Walker's material. He will tell you the day when the whole government crumbles is not that far away. And that is exactly, in my estimation, what they plan, because it will be replaced with a ruthless, ruthless tyranny. Well, Ken, basically, what can be done? I mean, certainly you make a point.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Relations came from. What is its tie into this whole move to create a one world government? Whatever its roots, do you have any idea where it came from?
Oh yeah, it came from an organization called the Inquiry. That was a group of about 100 men who helped Woodrow Wilson. This is back in the 1920s and the late 1910s. You know. After World War One, Woodrow Wilson had a handler. They didn't have the Council on Foreign Relations in those days, but he had a handler. And his name was Colonel Edwin Mandel House. And House helped organize 100 men to advise President Wilson on the Versailles Treaty, what they should put into the Versailles Treaty after Germany was defeated in World War One. So in this Versailles Treaty, they stuck in many things, and one of them was the League of Nations, which these people thought would become their world government. So they stuck that in there, and they tried to sell the Senate on it, and the Senate balked, and they said no. So then these 100 people, the Inquiry, who advised Wilson, they went back to the drawing board. And they said, we need to organize a semi-secret organization that will help steer both the government and the people to react favorably to the idea of world government. They're just not forward-thinking, see? So we have to do that. So they decided to organize a number of organizations in different countries. And one of them was in Britain, and it's called the Royal Institute for International Affairs, and they run the British government from behind the scenes in much the same way that the Council on Foreign Relations runs the American government. And there are a number of these institutes of international relations in all the former British Commonwealth. Like there's a Canadian Institute for International Affairs, and there's an Egyptian Institute for International Affairs, and a South African Institute, and of course there's the Royal Institute for International Affairs, and only in the United States is it called the Council on Foreign Relations, but they are all sister organizations. They communicate with each other and coordinate with each other and run their countries, their governments, from behind the scenes.
And I think that's so important that the English and the Americans work together. They're the major driving force behind this vision of bringing about the world government. Professor Quigley called them the Anglo-American establishment. I think that's a very, very good name for them.
That's exactly right. And that's one of his books. It's named the Anglo-American Establishment. And he also wrote that great, famous book, Tragedy and Hope. And that is the one that should be in every American library. And I hope that everybody who listens to that, who doesn't have it, orders it from Amazon or...
Well, I better still order it from Radio Liberty. In fact,
we
carry all of these books that Ken is talking about. We carry the Anglo-American Establishment. We carry Tragedy and Hope. And certainly we carry so many books that will help you to understand that there really are these secret or semi-secret organizations. Now you say, well, Council on Foreign Relations isn't secret. Well, I'll tell you, yes, this last few years they've come out publicly. But from 1921 until they were organized, up until probably the mid-1990s, you could not find any articles on them. I never think there was one article in Esquire and maybe one or two other articles.
Yeah.
Oh, I actually paid a gentleman to go through the communist papers, because the communist papers always talking about the wicked capitalists, the organizations trying to oppress the people. I had somebody go through all the communist newspapers and books, and they could only find one or two references to the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. And I read the communist newspapers for the better part of 30 years, 35 years. Why would the communists never talk about the Council on Foreign Relations? Yet this was the coordinating organization for the wicked bankers and the wicked capitalists. And you have to ask yourself, why would the communists never identify them, or who was really financing the communist movement here in the United States? And the Daily World became the People's World, the Daily Worker, then it became the Worker, because it's only coming out about once a week.
Oh, yeah.
But Chris, people don't understand. If you go to the Reese Committee, Congressional Committee that investigated the Great Tax Exempt Foundations, what did they find? Why, they were financing communism in America.
Yeah.
Are you the best enemy money could buy? We'll be back in just a minute with Ken Bowers.
Far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices,
well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Ken Bowers, his book, Against the Tide, and certainly we have a real problem in the United States because we, unless you listen to the alternative radio or have other sources of information, you're not going to understand what's really going on today. So you were telling us about the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations coming out of the meetings of the inquiry there in Versailles back in 1919. Of course, they were working with the British counterparts over in Great Britain, forming the Royal Institute of International Affairs in Great Britain, Royal Institute branches in all of the Commonwealth nations, and in America, the extension of this movement, the Council on Foreign Relations. So how was Council on Foreign Relations able then to influence American policy?
Oh, they just plain tell the president what to do. They just tell him, we want this done, we want this done. It's very simple. And yet people balk at that. Because, you know, think of President Harry Truman, who had that plaque on his desk, the buck stops here, you know, had that plaque on his desk. The buck stops here. I make all the decisions, you know. And that's just a bunch of bull. They tell these people what to do. And that is something that's very hard for people to believe because they lie through their teeth. It happened to me once. Elliot Richardson, many years ago, who was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, he came to my school. I was getting a chemistry degree at BYU. He came to BYU, and he talked to the students, and I asked him the question, does the Council on Foreign Relations make decisions for the presidency? I had the gall to ask him that. And he goes into this great big long diatribe about, you know, how good the council is and all this. And he winds up and says, no, I don't think the Council on Foreign Relations makes any decisions. And yet my investigation over the last 40 years, it's the amount of legislation that comes from the council and passes through the president.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course it's Ken's contention that many of the ideas and the programs that are carried out by various administrations, Republican, Democrat, are really the policies of the Council on Foreign Relations. Would that be a fair estimate?
Yeah.
However, before we go on, I'd like to get out your webpage and for you to tell people how they can get copies of your book.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad for that. Actually, I don't have a web page. I have a blog spot. It's kenbowers.blogspot.com. And if you want to get a copy of my book, Beneath the Tide, you can mail me. Best thing to do is go to give me. I have a PayPal account, and pay me through PayPal. My email is ken.bowers@yahoo.com. Ken.bowers, B-O-W-E-R-S, at blogspot at yahoo.com. And you use that to pay me $22, $17 for Beneath the Tide, $5 for shipping and handling. Pay it into my PayPal account, and then send me an email telling me your address and everything, and I'll send you a book.
All right, fine. And is the book available from Amazon?
Yes, it is. You can find it there, Beneath the Tide, Who Really Runs the World.
All right, very good. Well, if you're out there listening to the audience and you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Now, where does the Trilateral Commission fit into this? Where does the Bilderbergers fit into this? Where does the Club of Rome fit into this?
There are many organizations in this grand scheme. And from my investigations, I don't know of one organization that is the top. But they all have their own sphere of influence. The Trilateral Commission was created in 1973 by David Rockefeller, same name again, and Zbigniew Brzezinski. They started promoting the idea of joining the world economies together. They want to link all the world economies together. So they're doing it on an economic scale, an international economic scale. So their idea is that, well, the best way to promote a global economic union is to take down all the trade barriers between nations. Let's just get rid of them. We don't need them. And also get rid of all the labor barriers that would prevent people from migrating from one country to another. Just let a person, if they can't find work in their country, let them freely pass to another country and find work there. You know, free trade, free labor, wherever you want to go, sounds like a good idea, but it's not free. It's all controlled, and it's all controlled in favor of the large corporations which these people control, own. But nevertheless, that's the Trilateral Commission. And what happens is, if we follow that line of thinking and we knock down all the trade barriers and labor barriers between nations, well, the logical question to conclude from that is, why keep political barriers? Why keep nation states apart? Why don't we just eliminate political barriers and just join together in one great big world state?
Well, now, is there any spiritual component to what's going on today? In other words, is what really causes this thing to go on from generation to generation? Because, as you point out, it's been around for over 100 years, and a lot of the people who were working on this 100 years ago, the Colonel Houses of the world, Woodrow Wilsons, they're long since dead. Was there some greater service, some greater cause that they were pursuing?
Yes. And that's the darker side of it. And unfortunately, this is true. The people who run the world from behind the scenes have a religion, and they are so dedicated to that religion. They practice Luciferianism. I wish I could sit here and tell you it's not true. But if you have intellectual integrity, you have to pursue the truth no matter where it lies. You have to go after it. And the facts are that these people are very devoted to their religion, Luciferianism. They worship Lucifer.
Well, now, do all of them worship Lucifer, or does this, some of them worship Lucifer? No, is all the people in this organization are into this Luciferian faith, or is there simply just a small component of them?
Yeah, it is always those who are at the top. And let me give you some instances. The people who are at the top of our news media and the people who are at the top of the finances of the world. Some of these billionaires and trillionaires, David Rockefeller and the Rothschilds, these people who control so much power, they are Luciferians. They worship Lucifer. And that is hard for people to believe, but it's true. The facts are there. You just look at it and dig for it. That's one thing they try to hide very deeply. But
how can there suddenly, you may very well be right, but how could we ever, suddenly David Rockefeller is never going to say, I worship Lucifer, and the Rothschilds are never going to say, I worship Lucifer. So how can we actually ascertain that?
Well, you go to Alex Jones and you get his video. Oh, I can't even remember the name of it now. Where he infiltrated one of their retreats.
You're talking about the Bohemian Grove, and certainly this is a Luciferian center. There's no question that the Moloch, and if you get the books put out by the Bohemian Grove, we have them. They're not supposed to be circulated, but we were able to get them. And they talk about how they revere the owl. That's at the very beginning. Well, of course, the owl is the emblem of Moloch, which is, of course, a prototype of Lucifer. So that is true.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I was just recently, I was in your home state there, California, and I went to give some lectures in Santa Rosa with Orlane Cole, who's the head of the of the Eagle Farm.
Right. California. Oh, it does a good, great job.
Yeah, right there in Santa Rosa. Well, Santa Rosa is 20 miles from the Bohemian Grove.
Well, did you get up there?
Yeah, I had to take me out there. We went right up to the gate, and of course, it's off limits. They won't let anybody in, but I took a few pictures, and they told me, hey, you can't take that picture. And I say, oh, what do you mean, this quick? You know, and I got a few pictures, but of course, you can't go in there. But Alex Jones did. He infiltrated it, and he made a video and how they burn an effigy of a human being on an altar before a 25 or 30 foot owl.
Actually, it's 40 foot, but that's basically, we do carry that. It's called the Bohemian Grove. We think it's an excellent, excellent DVD. And suddenly, when you actually see these leaders of the world there with their robes and hoods and candles and chanting and having this feigned human sacrifice, a simulated human sacrifice, to the screams, you know, on the loudspeaker, supposedly the person being sacrificed. You have to understand, why would anybody in their right mind do this? And of course the answer is, because these are not people in the right mind. You're talking about the President of the United States. You're talking about Richard Nixon. You're talking about Ronald Reagan. You're talking about Gerald Ford. I don't think a Jack Kennedy was ever invited, however, but you're talking about Henry Kissinger, you're talking about, yes, the Rockefellers, they all have their little enclaves there at the Bohemian Grove, which is, for all intents and purposes, a Luciferian center, although I'm certainly everybody who goes there doesn't understand it. They just think it's a getaway and an opportunity to meet a lot of prominent people, but there are very strong occult overtones there. And with the Bohemian Grove, we have a material on that, a four-tape set on it. We have the DVD, Alex Jones, the Bohemian Grove, well worthwhile getting. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's you know, you could go there yourself and look at it. It's right there. It's just outside of a small town called Monte Rio, and it's right there on the coast, and it's unbelievable what they do there. We're talking about Supreme Court justices and congressmen and senators and former presidents and presidents and CEOs of multinational corporations and the movers and shakers, you know, university presidents and foundation presidents. The movers and shakers of this world.
In fact, I think Richard Nixon and some of his tapes, and I've never heard them, but I've heard that he actually commented on the Bohemian Grove had been there, and he wasn't going to go back again because he didn't want to be there with all those fags and all those men running around naked in the woods. These, ladies and gentlemen, are the leaders of our country. A lot of them are running around naked in the woods. Oh, what heaven's name is this all about? Well, supposedly, just getting away from all the cares of the world. Well, I want to get away from the cares of the world, but I'm not going to take off my trousers to do it.
Here's the deal. Here's why they are so dedicated to it. Because they have taken out the Faustian deal, the Faustian promise with the devil. And it's like the play Faust, where he pledged his soul to the devil. They do that. And when they do that, then the devil will give them power. He'll give them fame, fortune. He'll give them whatever they want in a worldly nature.
Well,
he'll give them whatever
very...
they want. And all they have to do is, you know, worship him and sell their soul to Satan.
Well, basically, we have a very good DVD. It doesn't cover the political aspect, but it covers music, and it's called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, 4-hour, 10-hour version. And when you watch that, you really realize that there are people who've actually sold their souls for the devil. And this is not imaginary. Have you ever noticed how many of our musicians die young, like John Lennon or Elvis Presley or Michael Jackson, strange, unfortunate deaths. And yet, of course, all of these people were involved in the occult. But you're never going to hear that discussed publicly. This DVD, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, will change your life. Have you ever seen that, Ken?
Yes, I have, as a matter of fact. And there's this very prominent one there of Bob Dylan, who was interviewed by, what's that?
He was interviewed on 60 Minutes, anyway.
The black guy, what's his name?
Well, I know who you mean, but I can't think of it offhand.
Yeah, I can't think of his name right now. And he was being interviewed by this guy on 60 Minutes, and he asked him, why do you keep doing this? I mean, Bob Dylan's old, you know. And he said, why do you keep doing this after all these years? Don't you want to retire? And he says, Bob Dylan says, I'm just keeping up my end of a bargain that I made many years ago. And he said, well, what was the bargain about? And he says, well, it was for me to get where I am today, to be famous, and to have all these things that I want, you know, fame and fortune and everything. And then the guy says, oh, may I ask you who you made this pact with? And he says, Bob Dylan says, well, the person who controls the unseen world.
World and the other world was the
this
term.
World and the other world.
This world and the other world. Basically, we have the transcript of that from 60 Minutes, and it's well worthwhile seeing. And Bob Dylan makes that remark. And was that actually in that they sold their souls? Because I saw it on 60 Minutes, and I thought it was just so touching. I don't think most people who saw it understood what he was saying, but he'd made a pact with the fellow who runs this world and the other world.
The other world. Uh-huh.
Well, let's go to Harold, who's calling us now, and we'll just see if he has a question. Harold's calling from Michigan, and hopefully he'll be passed through here in just a moment, and we can go to him. But have you ever gotten into the... Hi, Harold. How are you doing? Harold, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Stan.
Go right ahead. Do you have a question or comment?
I'm just at work right now, and I was listening to you guys on the radio, and I've also heard of seen that who was it, Bob Dylan, that had that interview you guys were just talking about.
Right, right.
And then the thing you guys were previously talking about with the the elite and the Satan worshiping and all that. I've seen an interview done. I'm at work right now, but I think her name's Kathy O'Brien.
Right.
And she points out like the Secret Services and how they use, you know, homosexual tendencies and stuff like that to keep information and keep it into a tight-knit group.
And we actually have interviews with Kathy where she actually tells that story, and we carry her book, The Transformation of America. And she was actually there. She was actually utilized at the Bohemian Grove. She's a lovely lady. I really, it's so interesting. I knew Kathy shortly after she came out from under CIA mind control. And, she was sort of vague. And now, of course, meeting her 10 years later, why she, just has all of her faculties back. But what a terrible thing they did with our tax money.
Right, exactly. And I stumbled across her interviews over the Internet a couple months ago. Because I recently have just been awoken to the majority of stuff that's coming out right now within the past year, and it's been quite an experience, so.
Well, I'm glad you have, and I hope you will help us get the word out there. Anything else you wanted to say there, Harold?
Nope. All I got to say is that I come into work every night and I turn your station on because I wouldn't rather listen to anything else.
God bless and thanks so much. Have a wonderful Christmas. And
yep. See you later, Sam.
Okay. Go right ahead there. Ken, we do have people all across the country. I do believe that radio and internet, shortwave, satellite, this is the only way we have of reaching people, but we're reaching an awful lot of them.
Good. Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
But we go right ahead.
Okay. Well, anyway, these people make this pact with the devil, and the devil fulfills his part of the agreement, and they get fame and fortune for the rest of their lives, but they have made a bargain. And for the rest of their lives, they have to live up to that, and they have to be dedicated and push his agenda for the rest of their lives, and even fame, fortune, and everything they want of a worldly nature. He can provide it in spades, more than they could ever imagine or want.
And that was Ed Bradley, who was the fellow who was on there with Bob
Dylan.
That's
right.
Ed Bradley. And he really did a good job. But, he asked the state the question. He had no idea what the answer was going to be. And when he got the answer, he didn't really understand that there really are people who worship Lucifer. This is the basis of the Gnostic faith. They believe there are two gods. And you can go up read some of my articles on RadioLiberty.com about the Gnostic faith. They believe, of course, there's the inferior God, the one the Christians worship, the superior God who gives you ultimate freedom. Do whatever you want to do, and Lucifer will reward you with fame and fortune and prosperity, but, of course, at a terrible price down the line. And until people understand the Gnostic faith, none of this makes sense. But I'm so glad that Ken Bowers does. I guess it's been Ken Bowers. His book, is it Beneath the Tide?
Yes, Beneath the Tide.
Beneath the Tide. And we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up the program right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Ben, you've got, Ken, I'm sorry. You're not Ben Bradley, you're Ken Bowers. Ken, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Started setting up a tea party in your community and start finding a candidate and then start collecting money and start working to get him elected and get his name before the public and figure out how you're going to circumvent the controlled media, because that's what it's all about. Well, I guess it's been Ken Bowers. Ken, thanks very much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure, and I hope you'll keep in touch with us.
Oh, you bet. And I'm a great fan of yours, Dr. Monteith. I think you're the greatest.
Well, I'm not the greatest. I'm just a lucky guy who's lucky enough to have a microphone, but God bless, and have a merry, merry Christmas.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, this is, I hope you enjoyed the program with Ken. He's very well informed and has a great information, great book. Well, this is the time when I need to remind all of our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is still primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, the year is drawing to an end, and we'd sure like to end up in the black, so if you're in a position to help, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Remember, we have over 60 outlets all across America. Every single week, we are certainly in some major markets here in California and major markets in Washington and upstate New York and Michigan. And all across America, our programs are heard by the miracle of shortwave and Internet. So if you can help us We'd love to hear from you. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. And if you're not in a position to help, and I know many people aren't, please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. I want to remind you that we have the CD set, the five CDs from the recent conference. They're available from Radio Liberty, and certainly you can get them separately or get them together in a packet. That's the CDs for the Radio Liberty conference in October. Great talk, certainly by Paul Williams, on the Islamic training camps here in America, where they're actually training the terrorists here for the attack on America, with a full knowledge of the FBI. Why would they allow that? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Well, I mentioned many times, Lord James got up in Parliament on the 3rd or 4th of November and said, you know, that he was sending money, billions of pounds, to the terrorists in Ireland and in North Africa, and of course that's the Islamic Jihad and Al-Qaeda. If you can't get that on the Internet, we'll be glad to send you a copy of the article out of the Belfast Tribune. How would they suppress that? I mean, how could they keep it out of the media? We have freedom of the press, ladies and gentlemen. If you own the press, you have the freedom to suppress anything, and they do. We actually carry a great DVD. It's called The Watchers. Goes into the supernatural element, the UFOs, cattle mutilations, alien implants, alien abductions. We have the DVD, The Secret of Oz, put out by our good friend William Still. We have so many CDs, and we have certainly all of Alex Jones' DVDs available through Radio Liberty. We have my talk on the planned police state, on planned population reduction, on the hidden agenda, which of course goes into the water fluoridation. There's an excellent syllabus that comes with that, and with the planned police state. We've got talks on so many subjects and syllabuses. Iraq, the Untold Story, has all the documentation of how all the wars are fraudulent. You need to get the syllabus because many suppressed documents are there, including Operation Northwood. That's Iraq, the Untold Story, the talk, and the syllabus. But go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, please tell others about our ministry. And then, of course, we're approaching the Christmas season. We'll be talking about it all the time. I sort of sad or tragic, unfortunate circumstances. But, you know, if you look at what's going on and you don't have a personal relationship with our Lord, life is hopeless and there is no possible way we're going to survive. But I do believe that God will look after those of his children. And we may go through difficult times. We may even lose our lives. But we know where we're going to spend eternity. And we're called to be involved. I'm called, and I believe you are called, too, to be involved in this spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 15 December 2010. You're in the right place. Thank you so much for joining us today. I think you're going to find this a bit of an interesting change from the usual Power Hour show. We're going to be discussing